this podcast is made possible by all our backers on Patreon. If you want to support It's Super Effective, you can head over to patreon.com/itssupereffective. By becoming a Patreon, you not only support the show, but you get a lot of cool rewards like stickers or our exclusive access to our Slack channel where you can chat and trade and battle with other trainers that also listen to It's Super Effective. If you enjoy what you're listening to and you want to keep enjoying what you're listening to, head over to patreon.com/itssupereffective and support the show. If not, no big deal. These episodes will always be free, but we would appreciate any support if you can. Thanks, and enjoy the episode. What's up, everyone? Welcome to the 199th episode of the Pokemon Podcast. My name is SB.
199. I'm trying to do like the Beatles. 199.
Is that a Beatles song?
Well, number 9, yeah.
Oh, I see. My name is SBJ, and with me here, I have Will.
Well, that's obvious because I've already talked and ruined your introduction, which is my devious plan.
It was getting to be a pretty solid intro. So we are recording this on Friday night, January 15th. If you have been following our podcast for the last couple episodes, you know that we've moved from Mondays to Fridays, and that's only temporary because we are getting ready to do our 200th anniversary show, 200 episodes. That is going to be, I should pull up a calendar. I actually have one up.
January
24th.
Gonna be in January on a Sunday.
On a Sunday.
Same day as the Royal Rumble.
That is same day as the WWE Royal Rumble, yes.
Easy to remember.
January 24th on twitch.tv/PKMNCASAT.
We will become a subscriber. Subscribe, like, comment below.
Subscribe, like, comment, share. We'll be doing our 200th episode live on Twitch. If I can figure out the technology behind doing said thing live, I don't think it should be too difficult. If for whatever reason you cannot make it, our start time is scheduled for 2 p.m. Central. And if for some reason you can't make it, we will still record the audio and release it as an audio show afterwards. But if you want to hang out...
for some reason I can't make it?
Well, then that's going to be a pretty solo show, I guess.
Solo monotone.
So that's what we got for not next week, but, well, the episode that will appear in... like 9 days of this recording. So that's kind of why our last two episodes have had this weird release schedule. And then once the 200th episode has been out the door, we will go back to our normal Monday releases that we hit pretty consistently. So I was recording before we get into we have a lot of Pokemon news. A lot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I already commented on that before you started recording, as you were listing out all of the different things that you need to cover, and then you said, and then we'll maybe have a Pokemon of the Week, and I was like, not likely. Not with all the news that we have to get through.
We have, yeah.
So before you dive into the news, Steve, have you had a good week?
I have. It has been good. I finished the Giant Bomb's 18-hour podcast of their game of the year. Games of the year. Their number one game of the year was Super Mario Maker. Spoiler. But yeah, that was really good. During that talk, let's lead into my story before we get into Pokemon. they were talking about clickers of the year, and Jeff from Giant Bomb mentioned a game called Trimps. And if you are part of our Slack community, you've probably heard me mention Trimps, or if you follow me on Twitter, I was also tweeting the Trimps. Will, how are your Trimps?
Well, I left them at work, and they're breeding and dying and battling and doing all the things that Trimps do. Building, I have Foreman Trimp, I guess. They're Foreman, right?
Yeah. The Foreman Trimp.
And they're building stuff, and I'm sciencing. I have myself doing science because I get a boost on things I do myself. And they're adventuring out there. I think I have them running on a particular map right now, and they are set to redo the map over and over again.
That's a good call.
So yeah, it's kind of like a cookie clicker without any pictures at all. So if you, let's say, okay, no, this is it. If you enjoy the ease of play of a game like Cookie Clicker, but you miss the jolly old days of Zork and text-based adventures, then Trimps is for you.
Trimps is a pretty... It looks like a spreadsheet. Doesn't even look good. And that's kind of why I like it.
Well, it's all text, right?
Yeah, it's all text.
It's all text. And well, right now... There are those little graphics, like, but they're not... They don't move.
Yeah, as of this recording, I have 4,000 Trimps breeding and going into battle.
4,000?
And I have two...
How many houses do you have?
I have too many. I have it running behind me, so I'm trying to, like, turn, but make sure my voice sounds good. I have 2,000 Trimps employed. And so there's kind of an end game to Trimps. At one point, there's a dungeon called, like, the Dungeon of Anger. You get it when you hit level 20. And if you can get through the Dungeon of Anger, it opens up a portal. And then once your portal opens up, you can start collecting helium. And when you go through the portal, you can use the helium to buy permanent upgrades. So, for example, one of the upgrades might be 5% more loot of everything in the future once you go through the portal. And you could upgrade, if you have enough helium, you could upgrade that like 7 times. So you're getting 5% times 5% math numbers. But when you go through the portal, everything starts over and you do it all again. But you do it with the boost that you applied from the helium you gathered when you went through the portal. Trimps is real cool.
No, it's not.
It's so good.
That means is that you do all the same stuff over again. It's just faster.
Eventually you'll hit a wall in Trimps because your armor and your army of Trimps will not be able to kill the Gorillimps and the Penguinimps and the Blimps that you are fighting.
I killed a Blimp today.
Oh, let me tell you how many. I've killed my fair share of Blimps. But so I didn't know about the portal initially. So the portal opened up for me yesterday and I went through the portal on accident. I didn't know. And I was like, oh my gosh, I lost, like, everything is starting over. I wasn't ready for this. My heart sunk. I lost at the time, the 2,000 some Trimps I had trimping away.
Wait, they all die out?
You start from zero.
Ugh.
When you go through the portal. It is like a brand new game, except for all the upgrades. So I went through the portal. I was like, oh, okay. I'm done. My Trimps is over. But then I was like, well, let me just click a couple things. And then the Trimps started building up again. And I noticed how much faster they were working. And that made me really excited. And then for whatever reason, I like quit my web browser and I came back and it reverted 2 hours ago. It, like, it didn't save. And it went 2 hours back before I went into the portal. And then I was like, oh my god, I just lost 2 hours of progress. But now I still have my game before I went through the portal, which is why I have 4,088 Trimps breeding, or my army of Trimps, and then my 2,044 employed. And I have, when I went through the portal initially, I had 34 helium, and now I'm at 104 helium. So I'm feeling better about going through the portal now and starting my Trimps journey over. But it's a great game. It's so good.
No, it's not.
It's real good. There's a lot of people playing Trimps at my work and in the Slack
community.
Everybody
at your work does everything that you tell them to do.
You know, I only, when I say everyone at my work, I mean like two people, because I don't talk to anyone at my work. That's what it comes down to.
Do you know how many people are playing Trimps at my work? None.
Because you don't know that. You have a big campus.
Well, I don't count them as my work. I only count the people in my department.
That's fair. If I counted the people in my department that play Trimps, it'd be 100%, because my department is just me.
That is terrible.
Trimps is at 100% at my office cubicle.
See, I'm just a little concerned, because when I was big into Cookie Clicker, I used to play it on my Mac at work. And I don't really know if you remember, many years ago, there was a recall where some iMacs had a horizontal hard drive installed instead of a vertical hard drive install.
I recall this recall.
Okay. So the story is,
Apple would call it a quality program. They don't like to use the word recall.
Okay. I was the person at Georgetown who was responsible for notifying all of the people who had the horizontal drive in their vertical iMacs that they needed to contact us so that we could swap out their drives and do the quality servicing for them, neglecting to take care of my own computer. So I was playing Cookie Clicker for like months. I never turned that computer off. Months and months and months of Cookie Clicker. I was getting those antimatters and interdimensional portals and everything, and like all the achievements and all the unlocks. And then the hard drive died, and there was nothing that could be done to recover, to bring it back. So I lost all of my Cookie Clicker progress. So I'm just like, Trimps is going to do the same thing, except luckily it's now a Windows computer, so it'll be a little less heartbreaking.
No, two things. One is Trimps work regardless of if your computer is on or off.
No.
They keep going. Because it runs off a server, a GitHub server. So if you go to your lower left-hand corner of Trimps, it'll say autosave, and it autosaves. But there is an export button, and when you export that, you export a string of numbers and characters. It's like, I don't know, probably 800 letters long. And if you go to any other computer and you import that string of characters, it should bring back up your Trimps game if you want to move it from computer to computer.
Too much effort. No, thank you.
I'm just saying that as long as you have that string of characters safe, like in a iCloud notepad or in a 1Password, or you wrote it down in a diary and your computer took a poop, your Trimps would be safe.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. It has portability that Cookie Clicker does not.
Yeah, Cookie Clicker has a flaw.
But
Trimps have evolved. They're intelligent creatures.
A clicky game has failed me once, so
Trimps is real good.
I'm trepidatious about doing another one. But I do have a love for Zork, and it's got that Zorky feel to it. So
yeah, I like the way it looks. I like the way it looks a lot. Well, let's get into Pokemon news, I guess.
There are no Pokemon in Trimps.
There are no Pokemon in Trimps. That is true. A Trimp could be a Pokemon, I feel. A very hardworking Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, and they're also very versatile. I mean, yeah. They can battle, they can build, they can
teach each other how to battle and build.
Yep, and they breed. You can make more Trimps.
There's some creature, I'll tell you that. It's Super Effective has been a show that has been around for almost 6 years now. 199 episodes as you are listening. And sometimes I get things wrong. Not all the time.
I find that hard to believe.
Not all the time. But I was very confident in the last two episodes that we would not be getting Pokemon news quite yet. And then this bombshell hit.
Oh, and it was quite the bombshell, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it was more than I could expect. And I honestly didn't think this stuff was coming until the first week of February. and they dropped it a little early, which is fine. I don't know if it had to do with like a distribution of, you know, we need to get hardware out there, and obviously people are going to see the hardware. And regardless, it's
out. In my opinion, this is just like the first tasty taste, and then they're going to now it's like the year of Luigi, and they're going to just be like ramping it up. Every week, every 2 weeks, you're going to get some more bombs, and you're going to be like, I can't believe there could be even more Pokemon. And they're like, yes, we have more Pokemon stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think we're going to just keep on getting news from here on out, which is fine.
They have uncorked the year of Pokemon. The year of Luigi is retired, and it is now the year of Pokemon.
The year of Pokemon. Pokemon, hashtag Pokemon 20, you mean.
Did it coincide with Junichi Masuda's birthday?
It did.
Mm.
It did.
Conspiracy.
Possibly. I have a bunch of tabs open with different news articles. The tab I don't have open, which I'm going to talk about right away, is Pokemon plans on doing a Super Bowl commercial. I believe the Super Bowl. Now, I'm not a sports fan.
It's a football game.
I believe it is a sports game of some sort of Tepig skin. I believe it takes place on February 9th, possibly February 8th.
One of the dates in February, yeah.
Some date in February. There will be a commercial for Pokemon with the... What is the slogan they're using? Go train? Get train? Can't remember.
Oh, yeah, I saw it once. It was almost like Trainers Go or something like that.
I'll look it up as we're talking. It's something like Train Go or Train Forever, something like that. That is what the commercial is going to be based on. So I think it would be very silly if this Pokemon Super Bowl commercial is targeted towards a game. I doubt it's going to be focused on the game. I doubt it's going to be focused on a movie or an anime or anything like that. What my belief is that it is going to be a commercial based on like the 20 years of Pokemon, mostly focusing on like Red and Blue and all that stuff, and then focusing on like what's to come. So when you're doing, obviously the Super Bowl is like the most watched thing of the year, you want to get those like 27, 28 year olds who were high strung on Red and Blue and then fell off. You want to get those people back. You want to get those younger kids who maybe don't know what Pokemon is yet. You want to grab those kids. You want to grab the parents watching those kids get excited about something that they might have seen for the first time. And yeah, you could say, oh, well, you know, Pikachu's in the Macy's Day Parade. But I think...
You mean the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
Yeah, the Macy's Day Parade.
Ugh.
But I think there's a huge audience difference in the two.
So I'll tell you exactly what the commercial is going to be. Do you want me to ruin it for you?
Ruin away?
Okay. Well, the slogan is train on. Train
on. I was close.
Train on. So it's going to start, and you're going to see like a small Japanese child with an original gray Game Boy. And the child's going to insert like Pokemon Green cartridge into the Game Boy, and you'll start to see the beginning screen, and then it'll morph into an American child with a Game Boy Color playing probably gold, and you'll see like the gold, some graphic of the gold screen, and then it'll morph again, and it'll be a Game Boy Advance, and you'll see Pokemon Emerald, and then it'll morph into a DS, and you'll see Pokemon Platinum. And then it'll morph into a 3DS, and they're just going to skip Generation 5, which is the greatest generation. But as they keep morphing, the person playing the game is going to advance in years. And then it'll come to a final screen of you're just going to see the special promo, which we haven't talked about in the news yet, 3DS, and it'll be somebody your age, 27, 28 years old. You won't see the game that they're playing, but you'll see that they're obviously either the original American child or the original Japanese child playing a Pokemon game, but you're going to be looking at them from the other side, and then it's going to be train on, trainers, more Pokemon news to come in the glorious 20th year of Pokemon.
You're probably not too far off. Although the first game that would be inserted would not be green.
Oh, I wrote the commercial. I sent it to TCPI or TPCI. They just like took my, they're like, yeah, this is genius. We're doing this. And since you gave it to us for free, ha ha.
They would definitely use Pokemon Red. No red. Doubt there. Yeah, what? They would absolutely use Red because Charizard's on it.
A lot of people like the Squirtle, man.
No, Charizard gets that instant recognition with anyone who was 8 years and older in 1998.
Not Pikachu.
Well, I mean, Pikachu will be a parent, but
it'd be hilarious if they do like Pokemon Yellow, Pokemon Crystal, Pokemon Emerald, Pokemon Platinum, and then, you know, nothing for Gen 5. Because
no Super Bowl commercial from Pokemon is not going to include Pikachu and Charizard. Let's just lay that out there.
Well, maybe they'll have them as like animations behind the child, like the imagination of the child springing forth.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't think though. I've seen a lot of people say like that this is going to be a Pokemon Go commercial. I do not think so at all. I don't think that is the time or place to advertise your free to play game.
Nah.
You want to hit the suit. You have two options to do in the Super Bowl. You have the option to make somebody laugh and watch your commercial, want to watch your commercial again at work the following Monday, or you want to make somebody like feel like their heart being pulled in a good way. Those are your only two options. If you're not doing the heart tugging or the tear making joy thing, that was a bad thing. If you're not making somebody laugh or you're not pulling on their heart, you failed your Super Bowl commercial.
Yes, Super Bowl commercials have to be very polar. You're either in the camp of GoDaddy or you're in the camp of Apple.
That is great. I think also Coca-Cola would be in the Apple camp.
Do they still make that garbage?
Budweiser.
I thought that company went out of business.
Budweiser would be in the Coca-Cola and Apple camp.
Yes, the emotional heartstrings.
And then you have the failed commercial camp, which is Radio Shack's commercial last year.
Oh.
Was it? No, it wasn't last year. It was two years ago. Radio Shack. Whew. All right. Super Bowl. Well, that was only one bit of news.
Keep it coming. Open that fire hose, man.
All right. Hold on. Let me check my trims. I upgraded my lumber. I can now... Lumber,
you know,
fest.
I just, whenever a button click turns black, I just click it.
Well,
I set everything to +10 now, so I get more for every click.
That's fair. Okay, so next bit of news here. Some Pokken tournament news. We've known Pokken tournament is coming.
Pokken tournament?
Pokken tournament.
JK.
Okay, gosh. We got four new Pokemon added to Pokken tournament. We have Braxen. Is that
Braxen?
Braxen?
Brakes on, train on. There you go.
Braxen, we have Garchomp, and we have Mewtwo. And as of yesterday, we have Chandelure being added.
Chandelure? Was that the mysterious Pokemon with that weird Japanese character in its name?
Possible. Sure. I don't know.
Is Chandelure one of your favorite Pokemon of all time?
Chandelure is real sweet.
Yeah.
Chandelure is really, really cool. So those four Pokemon are being added. We have a Wii U launch date in Japan, which is March 18th. And then as of the Chandelure news, we also have that it will be launched in the United States also on March 18th.
Wow. Simultaneous distribution.
Yes. And I'm just verifying because now I feel like those dates are wrong, but that's what I read. I could have read wrong, but March 18th is what are the dates I have for the Wii U release. I also saw that on the Wii U, Pokken Tournament will support LAN play. So what that is when you hook an Ethernet cord into the back of the Wii U, and you Ethernet it into the back of another Wii U, and you play on two different TVs, and you fight.
Okay, so I don't understand, and for the folks who haven't picked up on this also, one way to do two-player of Pokken Tournament on the Wii U is to have one person use the gamepad, which has a video screen on it, so their perspective is the gamepad, and then the other person uses the television. right? With a Wii U controller or the special pocket tournament controller or whatever. In the arcade, they only have one screen for both players.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't they just have one screen for both players on at home?
So I didn't know about the split screen. I skimmed over that.
Well, now I've revealed to you.
Oh, so here's the problem. This is where I'm going to get a little bitter about Pokken Tournament. So if you play on the same screen, which is technically one person on the Wii U controller and one person on the TV, it changes the game from 60 frames to 30 frames. And if you do LAN play, where you hook up two Wii U's together and play on different TVs, you will keep your 60 frames a second. That is also the same if you play with somebody online. You're still going to get the 60 frames a second, plus the lag you experience.
Plus lag.
So going back to the arcade, those were custom-built cabinets, so I'm sure they're only processing...
No, they're like 4K.
Well, when you're building an arcade cabinet and you're building, you know, X amount, you build the necessary chips and graphics for said game and you call it a day. I don't know, though, what's running. I don't know if anyone cracked open an arcade cabinet and they can tell me the details, but...
Well, how many FPS is 4K?
How many what? Frames per second? I don't know.
Is a 4K TV?
I don't know.
I thought you knew, like, tech stuff.
Well, I mean, like, no game is going to go over 60 frames a second.
Why not? Why not go 61? Why limit yourself?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I could read some articles about it and come to you with an intelligent conversation.
How many FPS is a Retina display?
The display is not what's displaying the frames per second. It is it's the content that is being rendered. So like Diddy Kong Racing on the original DS was like an 18 FPS frames per second game, and it was terrible. It was so sluggish and slow. Mario Kart 8 for the Nintendo Wii U is 60 frames a second. If you have more than two players, if you have three or four players, it drops to 30 frames a second.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it is day and night different. So if you talk to anyone who... So fighting games... So racing games and... Some games don't need multiple frames per second. It's like Animal Crossing. Yeah, easily Animal Crossing does not need 60 frames. Would your walking to Tom Nook's place be smoother if it was 60 frames a second? Yes, absolutely. No one's arguing against that. Fighting games, though, definitely matter for 60 frames a second. And I am not a big fighting games fan. If you've listened to the podcast, I'm not like big on Super Smash Brothers. I don't think Super Smash Brothers is in the same caliber as like a Street Fighter or a Soul Calibur or a Tekken. And probably four listeners listening to this podcast just exploded because I said that. Smash Brothers is a party game. It's not a fighting game. That's just my opinion. But as for a fighting game like Pokken Tournament, which is a fighting game, I don't see Pokeballs randomly dropping from the sky, and it looks like there are multiple stages. There could be Pokeballs dropping from the sky, but that's very popular in Smash Brothers. To say that if I want to sit on the same couch with somebody and play a fighting game, which is the best way to play a fighting game, in my experience, is sitting next to a really good friend who also likes fighting games and playing late into the night. That is an amazing experience. That is now ruined because you're going to drop the game from 60 to 30 frames a second. That is very disappointing in my eyes. And you could just be like, well, if you link them up through LAN, you can keep your 60 frames a second, which, by the way, Splatoon, I believe, supports LAN play. And all the Call of Duty games on Wii U support LAN play, just in case you didn't know. You're right, I could totally do that. But I don't want to do that. I do not want to run a LAN cable from my TV in my living room to some other room in the house. And I also don't want to play Pokken Tournament online. Like, I can. And I'm sure I would get a couple matches that would be good. But to me, my favorite part of a fighting game and why I like fighting games is to sit on the couch with somebody and play a fighting game. And that's just kind of lost in that.
Do you think they can be connected through a subnet? Or does it have to be a direct Wii U to Wii U connection?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure how Wii U LAN works.
Because that could, well, actually no, because then that's online play. If you're like in a dorm, right? And you're just like two dorm rooms away from each other. So, and it just becomes internet play.
Yeah, that would probably become internet play. Anyways, that's kind of what we know here about Pokken Tournament. So if you are serious about fighting games, know that local play will drop it to 30 frames. And if you're listening and you're like, well, that's not that big of a deal, then you're clearly not a serious fighting game person. And that's fine. I'm not saying you have to be to enjoy the game. I'm just saying that if for the people that care about fighting games in the fighting game community, 60 frames is a priority. And
yeah, if you're MLG.
For me, probably not so much, unless I'm playing with somebody on the couch, which I already said, I don't have anyone to do. Will I pick a Pokken Tournament? Probably, because I want to talk about it on the show. I want to play a Chandelure. That was like that's what kind of sold me on the game. But I don't plan on going MLG with it, or I don't plan on it. I don't plan on putting the time in to get good. I just plan on putting
good.
I plan on putting the time in to waste a couple hours at night.
Yeah, and if I'm going to play with somebody on a couch, it's not going to be video games.
That's fair. That's fair. Some other news here. A new Pokemon Center is going to open in Kyoto.
Oh, finally. Kyoto's been desperate for a Pokemon Center. Like, the island of Japan does not have 400 Pokemon Centers already. They needed 401.
That's right. Ugh. This will open in Kyoto, Japan on March 16th. And it will feature a Pikachu riding a Ho-Oh as its logo. I will say, I enjoy that Pokemon Centers have different logos.
And they kind of have different patron Pokemons.
Yeah.
And on March 2nd, Pokemon Center Washington, D.C. is going to open, right? That's your next piece of news?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right next to the White House, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
No, the real news is Pokemon, so the bombshell that kind of started everything was the Pokemon 20th anniversary was announced, which featured the Pikachu face logo, which is Pikachu's face made up of Pikachu and other starter Pokemon.
Yeah, I think you can see it at the website, which is
Pokemon20.com.
Pokemon20.com, and that's 20, not T-W-E-N-T-Y.
Mm-hmm. They, with the 20th anniversary, they're encouraging users to use the hashtag Pokemon20 to share their experiences. The Super Bowl, it says in here, the Super Bowl is Sunday, February 7th, which they will be running a ad for. I'm sure that will be on YouTube the day before they run or the day after, because why would you spend all that money not to put your ad on YouTube? All right, so some news based off this. They are doing a Mythical Pokemon every single month. Mythical Pokemon can be distributed via GameStop in the United States or through the Nintendo Network. So starting in February, you will be able to download Mew. What was this, the third time in like 20 years you'll be able to get Mew?
I guess, because there was that one competition where people were voting to see which Pokemon they wanted, and then everybody was so disappointed because nobody voted for Mew. Probably. At least in the States, where we don't get these distributions as regularly as other countries.
March is Celebi. I think Celebi is another harder Pokemon to find.
Oh, yeah.
April is Jirachi. May is Darkrai. June is...
Wait, is that Darkrai or...
Darkrai. Yeah, Darkrai. June is Manaphy. July is Shaymin. August is Arceus. September is Victini. October is Keldeo. November is Genesect. And December is Meloetta.
So they obviously don't care if you don't pick up Meloetta.
I still believe that Volcanion will be distributed also, but we'll get to that. They announced, besides the mythical distributions, they announced Pokemon Day. Pokemon Day is on February 27th, which is the day that Pokemon Red, Green, I guess just Red and Green, were released in Japan.
Correct.
On Pokemon Day's Toys R, I didn't know this till now. On Pokemon Day, which is February 27th, which is a Saturday, by the way, Toys R Us in the United States will have a special foil Pikachu and Magikarp TCG card from the new generation set, a Pokemon activity book, and a poster of the original 151 Pokemon from Generation 1. They will be available when available until supplies last. So if you care about getting a poster, an activity book, and two TCG cards, I would head over to your Toys R Us.
All right, Joe, we're getting in line at midnight on February 26th. I know where the Toys R Us is.
They got one in DC?
No, they do not have one in DC, but they have one in Virginia.
All right.
DC doesn't have anything. All right. So if the question is, do they have one in DC? The answer is no. We literally only got Walmart like 3 years ago. So no, DC has nothing except garbage politicians. Thank you, rest of the country, for sending your trash here.
That's fair.
But everybody should have Pokemon Day parties and invite me.
A Pokemon photo booth app will be released, available later this year on iPhone and Android. I think that was kind of missed in the shuffle, but I don't know what that entails. And starting on January 19th, 12 Pokemon movies will be available for digital download on iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon. Additionally, the iBook of a Pokemon Super Story, Hoopa and the Clash of Ages, and Pokemon Super Story, Pokemon the First Movie will be available on iTunes early this year. Or sorry, those were available earlier this year. We'll get to the anime stuff in a second. Merchandise. PokemonCenter.com will be selling special merchandise to help celebrate the Pokemon 20th anniversary. This merchandise will include TCG accessories, including a deck box, a playmat, card sleeves, a three-ring binder, all featuring the 20th anniversary logo. It will feature a Pikachu pin that is 2 inches wide and a Pokemon 20th anniversary lanyard. It will feature t-shirts in both kids and adult sizes. It will feature a baseball shirt and baseball cap with the anniversary logo. It will also feature a 12-ounce mug that will be available this summer.
Is that 12 American ounces?
That would be 12 American ounces. That is correct. In Europe, there will be some limited edition toys coming out. Those toys will be made from Tommy, if that matters to you.
Made Nendoroid, out of Tommy? Like Tommy the guy?
T-O-M-Y, all caps. Not like Tommy the Power Ranger, no.
Tommy.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the White Ranger. Nendoroid. We talked about Nendoroid and not to buy fakes. They are making a Pokemon Trainer Red Champion version, which will release exclusively on PokemonCenter.com. It is a limited edition Nendoroid figure that will come with a Great Ball, an Ultra Ball, and three Pokemon figures, Venusaur, Charizard, and Blastoids, and will be available at the end of February. Yes, I said Blastoids wrong. Nendoroid is a series of figured products by Good Smile Company. Besides your three Pokemon, you also get your little mini Red. And if you want to make people mad, you call him Ash. Volcanion. I'm sorry, we got a lot of news. Volcanion has been officially revealed in English. Volcanion has officially been revealed in an English trailer on YouTube by the official Pokemon channel. It is the final Pokemon in the National Dex as of Generation 6, and it is the first Fire/Water-type Pokemon. The press release states, the Pokemon Company International today revealed a brand new trailer featuring Volcanion, a newly discovered Pokemon found in Pokemon Omega Ruby and Pokemon Alpha Sapphire, also Pokemon X and Y. Volcanion is a rare mythical Pokemon that cannot be found during normal gameplay. Unlike any other Pokemon, Volcanion is the first fire and water type. This Pokemon uses its fire and water to create steam within its body, expelling explosive shockwaves and scalding steam from its arms on its back. Volcanion's power is said to be so great that it can destroy an entire mountain, gouging out the earth and changing the shape of the land. The new trailer featuring the mythical Pokemon Volcanion has been released on PokemonCo.uk and Pokemon's official YouTube channel. Fans should stay tuned to hear more information how to obtain Volcanion. It'll be when the new game comes out.
Well,
because that's how Pokemon does things.
Kind of, yeah. I wonder if they'll do it like a code like they did with the Victinis.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
And then you get to go to a special island that makes you feel all special.
I feel like if there was an island holding something, that somebody would have discovered it in the code at this point.
Oh, yeah, that's right. If it's distributed to Oris and...
If it's all four games, like they said, it's probably just going to be just straight download.
That's disappointing. I like the sense of adventure.
We're getting into movie and anime territory here. All right. So the plot for the 19th Pokemon movie has been revealed. I'm going to read the plot to you. The movie storyline, the synopsis here. On his way to becoming a Pokemon master, Ash and his companion... Tell me if you've heard this before. Ash and his companions continue on their journey when a large object covered in white smoke descends from the sky and lands suddenly in front of the group. Drawing in the surrounding white smoke to its center, the object reveals its form as the mythical Pokemon Volcanion. Ignoring the concerns, Ash and his friends, the human-hating Volcanion, immediately tries to leave. However, the impact of the descent causes a strange device to bind Volcanion and Ash together, leaving them unable to separate. As the Pokemon ran off, Ash is dragged along with it. The two eventually arrived at the Azoth Kingdom, a city of super machinery where gigantic gears all around the city continually rotate. Why did Volcanion fall from the sky? And why did it head for Azoth Kingdom? Set in a mythical kingdom of machinery, the hottest legend in the history of Pokemon, it begins to unfold. The title of this movie has yet to be revealed, but the movie is scheduled to make its premiere on July 16th in Japan.
So now we know the name of the region that's next to Kalos is Azeroth.
But as anything in the movie, like in the Victini movie, they went to some land that was not...
I know. It wasn't the Victini movie. It was Pokemon the movie Black and Pokemon the movie White.
Oh, my fault. You still watch the anime, Will?
I still watch the cartoon, yes.
Good.
Which I just saw the last episode from the current season, and it was so good. Oh, man.
All right.
And there was like, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, but I was like, because I mentioned to Jake Paik, because he had a little part in the first half of the two part. Well, I guess he was in both parts of the two part and finale of the season. And he did a little like GIF sound clip of one of his parts in it. That's pretty funny. That end of story. That's as exciting as it gets there.
All right. All right. Well, I got some anime news for you. The 19th season of the English dubbed Pokemon anime, which is called Pokemon the Series X, Y, and Z, will premiere on February 20th on Cartoon Network in the United States.
In time for the 20th anniversary.
There you go. This means that the debut episode will be XY093, which will also be the first episode of the Pokemon anime X, Y, and Z arc. This season will focus on Team Flare's plans for the legendary Pokemon Zygarde and the secrets it holds. Elaine?
How's it spelled?
A-L-A-I-N.
Elaine, yeah.
Usually Elaine's spelled with an E.
No. It's the French for Alan.
Oh, okay. My French is not up to par.
Your French, it is subpar.
Yes. Yes. Ongoing search for the source of Mega Evolutions intersects with Ash and his friends. Additionally, Ash and his Frogadier will work together.
Wait. Don't jump ahead there. Do you understand what you just said? The Mega Evolution specials are going to cross with the Pokemon, the regular cartoon, the Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh, is that the person in the Mega Evolution special?
Yeah, Elaine. He's the one who's searching for the Mega Stones and has the Mega Power.
Oh, see, I never saw any of those.
And yes, oh,
clearly.
It's so good. And there was like a little hint of the crossover because when they went to Anastar City, they had this kind of reveal of why they're completely skipping over Oros in the cartoon. And they showed like parts of the Groudon and Kyogre battle from the Mega Evolution specials. Wow, I know way more about the Pokemon cartoon than any 42-year-old should.
Additionally, Ash and his Frogadier will work together to reach new heights. I think this has to do with the Frogadier Greninja-looking Ash.
Ash Greninja is what it's called.
It's going to be real dumb.
What do you mean? It's going to be real cool.
I don't want Digimon crossplay in my Pokemon. No, I don't care. I don't even watch the anime. You know what I do watch? I like to watch the movies, though.
You know Ash Greninja is in Picross.
Well, you know what I gave up on? Pokemon Picross.
You're missing out, man. It's so good.
It was good when I played it, and then I hit that wall.
Still good every day.
Let me tell you about Trimps.
Oh.
Starting January 19th, 12 Pokemon movies, 13 counting both versions if you separate the 14th movie. Will be available to download on iTunes, Google Play, and Amazon. The first three movies will digitally be remastered for this release. So if you forgot what the first three movies are, these are the ones that are digitally remastered. Pokemon, the first movie. See, you know what's funny about that is, like, they definitely knew what they had at the time. That is why it's called the first movie.
Was it really called the first movie?
Yeah, it really was.
The theaters?
It was.
Wow.
Pokemon the first movie, Pokemon the movie 2000, Pokemon 3 the movie, Pokemon Forever, Pokemon the Rise of Darkrai. Duh, that movie's really good. Darkrai. Pokemon Giratina and the Sky Warrior.
Pokemon, that one's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that one with Shaman?
It's got Shaman in it. I like the other Giratina movie more though.
Okay. Pokemon Arceus and the Jewel of Life. Pokemon Zoroark, the Master of Illusions. Pokemon the movie Black, Victini and Reshiram. Pokemon the movie White, Victini and Zekrom. Pokemon the movie Kyurem vs. the Sword of Justice. Pokemon the movie Genesect and the Legends Awakened. Pokemon the movie Hoopa and the Clash of Ages. In addition to these digital releases, Pokemon TV will be featuring films every month throughout the year.
You also skipped two of the movies, Pokemon Lucario and the Mystery of Mew and Pokemon Ranger and the Temple of the Sea. The only mention you'll get of Pokemon Ranger in this glorious 20th anniversary year of Pokemon,
well,
much
let me
to
tell
my disappointment.
You what movies did not make this list? Those two.
Really?
I believe they're already in iTunes, actually.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think they're already in iTunes and Google Play. What else we got here? Nothing else that important. So if you care, are they going to put all these together as a package? I don't want to buy like 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, 200. That's almost like $300 worth of movies if they're $20 each HD.
Why would they be $20?
Because I'm pretty sure the ones currently in iTunes are $20.
Really?
Yeah, let me pull it up.
I don't even understand because it's like you can't even like
they're okay. I got it. They are so Pokemon Lucario and the Mystery of Mew is $14.99 HD in iTunes. Pokemon the movie Diancie and the Cocoon of Destruction is $14.99 HD. Pokemon the movie Pokemon Ranger and the Temple of the Sea also $14.99 in HD. And Hoopa is available for pre-order for $14.99. So I'm going to do some math here.
I just don't understand this because the last Pokemon movie that you could see in the theaters, and this is probably the reason why it was the last one, was the Pokemon the movie Black.
It would be $285 plus tax. If you buy all 19 movies at $15 each. Yeah,
but so many of these movies, like, you could never have seen in the theater. So what? They shouldn't cost as much.
Well, they probably know they're going to sell. Like, the only way to get these movies before was, like, if you were lucky to find them in the DVD clearance section at Walmart.
Well, there is that one DVD that has, like, four Pokemon movies on it.
Yeah. The first four movies.
Yeah, I had that one.
I had that one too. I bought it from Irene's nephew and niece because it was like $5 in a clearance bin at Walmart. And I was like, four movies for $5. That is a great deal.
Pokemon. I got my copy at a gas station in South Carolina.
For like $5, right?
Yeah, it was a kangaroo. Wow. What a special moment. I remember what kind of gas station it was.
All right. Going backwards here on our news. There will be a new Pokemon themed new 3DS bundle and 2DS bundle and cover plates to be released. So in the United States, the new Nintendo 3DS Pokemon 20th Anniversary Bundle will be released on February 26th. This bundle includes a new Nintendo 3DS with pre-installed virtual console versions of Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue. It will also include two set of cover plates themed on Pokemon Red and Pokemon Blue, respectively, as well as a download code for an exclusive home menu theme. This is the smaller system, not the XL. It is the same system as the Animal Crossing bundle that was released late last year. Just be clear, not the XL.
Yeah, which is disappointing, but you can't do cover plates on the XL.
Correct. So if you are in Europe or Australia, three Nintendo 2DS special editions will be released on February 27th. Each bundle will include a transparent red, blue, or yellow Nintendo 2DS system pre-installed with one of Pokemon Red, Blue, or Pokemon Yellow, respectively. These bundles will also include a sheet of 15 stickers that can be used to customize the system and a download code for a home menu theme. In Australia, they will retail for $149.95 American dollars. I don't know what the conversion rate is. The stickers
are 3,000 Australian dollars.
The stickers are all the same in all three bundles. The transparent 2DS systems will be released in Japan as well. The transparent red and blue models previously have been released in North America, Europe, and Australia to promote Pokemon Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. Oh yeah, they did do that. I don't think you can find those anymore, though. At least at my like Targets, I don't see them.
I don't know. I don't go to Target.
Does DC have a Target?
Yeah, we got one about like 4 years ago.
All right. In Europe and Australia, two new cover plates will be released. They've had the new smaller 3DS for a while. A Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon cover plate featuring Pokemon from the game, which was previously released in Japan, will also be released February 19th in Europe and Australia. In Europe on February 19th, Australia on February 20th. A cover plate featuring Pokemon sprites from Red and Blue, which have not been previously released, will be released in Europe and Australia on February 27th. Those cover plates will retail for $24.95 American dollars. I don't know what the conversion rate is. In Australia, customers who buy Pokemon Super Mystery Dungeon before March 17th on the Nintendo eShop will receive a code for a free Nintendo 3DS theme featuring Charizard, Pikachu, Bulbasaur, and many more. This theme also is available for Australian customers who pre-order the retail version at select retailers. Those have not been announced. And finally, February 27th.
I kind of feel like America is getting punished in these distributions.
I mean, we're not getting the red and blue 2DS we already got. It's the same color as Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire that was released.
I want the yellow 2DS.
Okay.
With the stickers.
That's fair. That's fair. February 27th, 2016 is the same date Generation 1 Core series of Pokemon were released, and they will be released again on the Nintendo 3DS Virtual Console. It has been declared Pokemon Day by the company Pokemon Company International. February 27th is the date that Pokemon Red and Green were originally released, 20 years in Japan prior. Whew, so there you go. We still have one more news.
Wow.
And finally, Japan to have Pokemon scrapped distribution of hidden ability legendary birds and a shiny Eevee. The latest issue of Korakora Comic has revealed that the Pokemon Scrap campaign will return to Japan. Pokemon Scrap will be available in participating products from February 1st to... Doesn't say. Pokemon Scrap can be redeemed from March 1st to August to August 2016. Doesn't give a specific there.
What is a Pokemon scrap?
As part,
it's just so confusing the way you're saying it. I can't tell if you're just saying a word wrong or if it's really scrap. Something weird.
A Pokemon scrap campaign was previously run from November 1st, 2014 to April 30th, 2015. Although it was extended significantly into 2015, Pokemon scrap numbers could be obtained from participating types of Pokemon merchandise. The Pokemon scrap numbers could be entered on the official website, on which players could redeem a certain amount of Pokemon scrap numbers for a particular Pokemon or item of their choice. Upon redeeming the assembled codes, players would receive a serial code to enter in Pokemon Omega Ruby or Alpha Sapphire to obtain that gift. As part of the Pokemon scrap campaign, the legendary birds with hidden abilities, as well as a shiny Eevee, will be available. Master Balls will also be available. These gifts can be obtained in X, Y, Omega Ruby, and Alpha Sapphire. This is the first time the legendary birds will be available with their hidden abilities. That answer your question?
Kind of. So it's like cereal box tops? Like?
They're just like scratch off. Or like, you know, you buy a soda and you twist the cap off and then there's the code. Kind of like that.
Yeah, how come they don't do that anymore?
Yeah, I know, they're missing out.
Oh, those used to be the best kind of contest. And you type the code into the web browser and it's like, you won another soda. and then Will is like, I don't drink soda. I only drink iced tea and water. And then they're like, you won nothing.
You won nothing. That, I feel like we're missing news. Like, I feel like there was so much news that we were missing news.
Because it just came out like this huge and like everybody was like so tense. It's like, when are we going to get that Pokemon news? When are we going to get the? And then all of a sudden, it's this like huge explosion of like new 3DS, Pokken dudes coming out with like substandard Pokken fighters that nobody wanted in the first place.
You don't want Sceptile?
I mean, I'm sure some dudes out there want Sceptile, but I'm not. That's not my bag. I mean, I'm a fire type dude. But even it's like, why are we getting a Brakeson and not a Delphox? You know, what's the deal with that? But you know, I know why, because Delphox has something in its hand and it can't punch.
Delphox also has like a wizard robe on. You're not very agile in that.
But Gardevoir is so agile.
Yeah, because it floats. I don't think Delphox floats.
Delphox could float if it wanted to.
Maybe.
It's just as psychic as Gardevoir is.
I mean, it's no Chandelure.
Ugh, Chandelure's floating all the time with its creepy...
Nothing but floating.
Eyes and...
Floatstone Chandelure, they call it.
Ugh, it so creeps me out. What other stuff? What's just like... It's just, well, you go to Pokemon20.com and you just see it all. It's all there. But you know what? You can tell that there's going to be more. They're going to give us more.
Oh, no doubt.
At least until, you know, February 27th, 2017, where they're like, no more Pokemon ever. Clock. They shut the door like Willy Wonka closes down his factory.
Yeah, I don't know. But what I do know is we should take a quick break because this is one of the longest segments we've ever done on news, if not the longest. And I would imagine if Travis was here, it would have been longer.
That kid never shuts up.
So what we'll do is we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to tackle some emails that you send in, maybe squeeze in our Pokemon of the Week, and we will wrap up the show. But we will be right back. And we are back.
Well, nice. That wasn't very monotone at all.
Yeah, there you go. I've been learning. How are your trims?
I don't know. They're at work. I did not bring them home with me. They're going to spend the Martin Luther King Day weekend, a long weekend working while I'm at home relaxing.
All right, that's fair. Well, you have Monday off?
It's Martin Luther King Day. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Yes, I have Monday off. And I would like to remind everybody that Martin Luther King Jr. Day is a day of service. So do something to benefit your community in remembrance of Dr. King's legacy. Thank you.
Thank you. My trims are still going.
Well, you tend to obsess over things while I'm a pretty chill dude. Which you cannot deny. I am so chill compared to you.
So, no news about a new Pokemon game.
Yet.
I would assume that is going to be coming on February 27th.
Yeah.
And no news about Pokemon Go. But I feel like that would probably be released around the same time. Not like out in the world, but more details.
Yeah, is there a Nintendo Direct coming up at all?
I don't think so. I don't think there has to be a Nintendo Direct. I think what Pokemon's doing with its Twitter and its just YouTube and online presence is strong enough where it doesn't need to depend on a Nintendo Direct to get its information across.
That's true. If you're not following Pokemon on Twitter, you are missing out.
Yeah, they've been retweeting a lot of Pokemon 20 stuff and everything, and it seems like they're, I mean, if you look at how they tackle like nationals and worlds, they're very consistent in getting fans' opinions across, whether that's through video of an interview or retweeting or asking fans to share their thoughts and their Pokemon journeys up to this point.
Oh yeah, the Pokemon 20 website is all about that.
Yes.
The whole like lower third is just fan stories.
Yeah. And I think they're going to keep pushing that throughout the year. Yeah. That's what I got. I'm still in the camp of not really being completely sold on Pokemon Go. But I can be swayed pretty easily.
And that's why there's people like you in the world, and there's people like me in the world who has already given notice at my job, just in anticipation of me leaving on my Pokemon Go journey.
Yeah, I don't understand the level of excitement for a game that has very little detail about it.
It's Pokemon in the real world. What more details do you need to know? Pokemon in the real world. Try to talk, because I'm just going to say Pokemon in the real world loud.
Let me share a story with you, Will.
Pokemon in the real world.
I don't think I've ever shared the story on the podcast. When I was 16, so a decade ago, there was this console coming out called the Wii. And I went to some sort of punk rock concert, and it was partnered with the Nintendo Experience. And I think this was so old that the headlining band might have been Hawthorne Heights. I don't know if you remember this band.
I do.
And so, besides liking most of the music there, that was my opportunity to play the Wii a couple months before release. And so I remember, you know, standing outside the Rave in Milwaukee for an hour in the cold, and then they moved us inside, and you're standing inside for another hour because they don't have the venue set up. And while we're waiting in the hallway, you can see people going in and out of this curtain. So I peered through the curtain, and they had the six Wii's set up with Excite Truck and Wii Sports. And I think that was it. Like, just different versions of Wii Sports and then Excite Truck at the end. And, you know, the concert went on, and I kept going back to the Wii thing because, you know, lines were either long or short depending on which band was playing. And what stuck out of my mind and why I'm telling the story is I remember just standing in line for Wii Tennis, and the group of younger, probably my age, maybe a little older, guy standing in front of me talking about Red Steel. I don't know if you remember Red Steel was a launch game for the Wii.
I do recall.
It was for our listeners, it was like this first-person shooter using the Wii controller and the nunchuck, and then you could also switch to a sword to do, you know, slashes with your nunchuck. And they were talking about how great it was going to be and how it was going to be like the new GoldenEye for Nintendo 64, but on the Wii, and how they can't wait for the online play and the four-player split screen. And they just kept going on about how what their strategies were and what the leaderboard would be. And, you know, I didn't think much of it at the time. But then, you know, when Red Steel got released, there's no online play. There was no four-player split. Like, there was none of that. And so the reason I'm telling that story and the reason why I'm relating this back to Pokemon is it just blows me away how little information we know about Pokemon Go, but how that level of excitement is exceeding expectations that haven't even been set.
Pokemon in the real world. What more do you need?
Expectations to be set. That is what I need.
Stop. Let your imagination run wild for a chance.
I just imagine the first 12 hours after Pokemon Go being released and hearing nothing about how ridiculous the microtransactions might be. And I'm not saying that like there's going to be ridiculous microtransactions, because I don't know, but I can't help but consistently go back to expectations being so high, which leads to disappointment, which means those people that are so vocal about something that has no format, no baseline, are going to be the same vocal people that are going to be complaining first.
Here's a format for you. It has a Pokemon detector you wear on your wrist that goes bleep bloop and lights up and tells you there's a Pokemon standing next to you, and you look on your phone and you see a Pokemon right there in the real world.
You're right. And I like to buy...
And then you catch it in a Pokeball.
I like to buy things I can wear that do one task.
How many tasks did your Pokewalker do?
It did one, which was count my steps. I didn't really use it for anything else. I did enjoy... Let me tell you about this game called Trimps. You watch numbers go higher.
Let me tell you a story,
and higher.
Steve.
And the Pokewalker story. The number goes higher and
Listen,
higher.
Years ago, when my nephew was much younger and he was visiting me at my house, I had a Pokeball bento box, which I'm sure many people have gotten. I think it was available from ThinkGeek. And he saw that and he said, "Uncle Willie, can I catch a Pokemon in that?" And I said, "Yes, you can catch a Pokemon in that. Here, take it." And we went into my backyard, which is technically a national park, and we walked on the trails in there looking for Pokemon, because it was Pokemon in the real world, and that's all you need. Take my money. Take all. I will give my entire paycheck every month, all like whatever, thousands of dollars of it. You can have it. Give me Pokemon in the real world. No opportunity to disappoint.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I am very excited for a new main series game. I am excited.
Yeah, as long as they don't bog it down with story.
Right, yes. As I've expressed on the show, the less story in Pokemon games, the better.
Oh.
It is not a story about Silver or Red. No, it's a story about me and my Pokemon. Screw Pokemon story. I don't care about N. I don't care about his fake dad who's a bad guy. No.
Give me a rival. His real dad who's a bad guy.
Is it his real dad?
Who knows?
I don't think it is. See, it's dumb. That's why Black and White were not good. It wasn't about the Black and White was not about you. It was about N.
That's not, I disagree, and no, and you're wrong, and this is not even the time to get into it.
Less story in my Pokemon games, more Chandelure. That is the campaign I'm running this year.
Where there's no news, and I will spend an hour and a half explaining to you why fifth generation is the greatest generation of all the Pokemon games. for so many different, but we just don't have time to get into it. So I'm not going to waste my time on trying to do a very high level synopsis of a very detailed philosophical argument
of black and white.
What we call it fifth generation because it's black and white and black and white too. And it's a significant achievement in storytelling.
Let's get some debatable. Let's get into some emails. You can email us at sbj@pkmncast.com or just go over to pokemonpodcast.com and hit the contact button. Either way, it'll get to the same place. And if you have thoughts about Hawthorne Heights or Pokemon Black and White, please send them our way. This is from Nick G. Hello, everyone. I was thinking that you should name your 200th episode Misdreavus because it is the 200th Pokemon in the Pokedex. Also, I wanted to know what you think the chances are of a Pokemon Stadium feature getting added to Pokken Tournament. Finally, and most importantly, would you rather have feet for hands or hands for feet? Thanks again for the podcast each week. Nick G. from Boston. See, Nick included his location, which I appreciate in emails.
Well, now there's so many Nicks in Boston. I'm now just assuming that everybody in Boston is named Nick. Or well, at least all the dudes.
That's fair.
Because there's no Nick chicks.
Nicolina.
Nicolette.
Nicolai.
Thank you, which is a real name.
Nikki. There you go.
First off, I would rather have feet for hands. Or, no. I would rather have hands for feet.
I agree.
Because more hands means more monkey business, and that's all we need.
There's no argument here. Hands for feet. Hands. I like feet. But you can't go wrong with a good hand.
I'm not a big fan of feet.
Really?
No, yeah. No. I'd rather they're like children, you know, neither seen nor heard.
All right, fair.
But if you had hands for feet, you could hang upside down from a tree.
Pretty easily.
Enjoy a summer day.
They would have to reinvent the shoe industry.
You wouldn't need shoes.
But what if there's glass on the ground?
We wouldn't use glass because we'd have hands for feet. We wouldn't need glass.
All right. Back to his other question. Chances for a Pokemon Stadium feature to get added to Pokemon Tournament.
0%.
Zero. That game is done. That game has been done. That game's not getting anything else. We're not even getting 60 frames a second split screen.
Yeah, and also because, to be realistic, the concept of the fighting game is that each fighter has special combos that you activate by pressing the buttons in a certain sequence, and you could not do 721 unique combo button presses that could be recorded into a game.
Although a spectator mode would be nice, but I doubt we're getting that either. Let's see here. Jasper B writes in, "Hello SBJ, Will and Travis. Steve, will you rant some more about how bad Ruby and Sapphire were and compare them to Picross, which I dislike because I suck at? Thank you for reading this, Jasper." Ruby and Sapphire were pretty bad.
Did you get to not the Elite Four battle, but the final battle before the Elite Four?
No.
Okay, visually, the most beautiful of all Pokemon battles ever.
Well, let me tell you what turned me off of that game. I went to the volcano and battled Team Aqua, the better of the two teams.
Debatable.
And then I left the volcano, and May was like, "You need to come to the city with me," and teleported me across the map to a city I did not want to be. And I was very annoyed. And then I turned it off.
You weren't annoyed when you finished one gym battle and then she's like, "Oh, well, you're ready for the next gym," and takes you immediately to the front of the next gym without any ability to level up in between?
Nah, I was cool with that because I was already high enough level. Mm. I will say, though, like I do like the journey from gym to gym. So that's why I really like X and Y, and I compare it a lot to Red and Blue because they both have that first gym you get to pretty quickly. And obviously that's exciting because that's your first gym and that's like the direction that your journey takes you, and then both have that second gym that's a little, not a little, a lot farther away, but you're, that's not a complaint. Well, that wasn't a complaint when I was a kid, because that was like, the more Pokemon I could get, the better, and like going through the area field and then to the cave and then back out and seeing all those Pokemon that I've never seen before, like that was super exciting. And X and Y restored that feeling because I avoided what the new Pokemon were. So it was just very exciting to go through that area and see everything as I went along. Like, it didn't feel long because there was so much to see. Now, when I go back to that, I could see the complaints of like, oh, it's just so long to get from the first gym to the second gym and X and Y. Like, yeah, totally. But like, your first time, at least my first time, I didn't feel like it was long because I always felt like there was something new. And so then later in X and Y, and it happens in Red and Blue too, like some gyms are just really kind of close together. And I don't know, I think it kind of takes away from the journey, but that's just my perspective. Ruby and Sapphire. I think Picross is good. Like, if they were to sell Picross as like a retail game, like Pokemon Rumble, I would probably actually buy it. I think Picross is good.
I'm not gonna have the Picross argument with you, because it's just such a, once again, a fundamental difference in our philosophies of gaming, where I am perfectly happy to do the challenge puzzle every day, get my 8 Picrites, put it away, and when I get up to my 90 Picrites to open the next level, or my 100 Picrites to open the next level, and then I enjoy a little bit of that every day, and I don't overindulge, and I take my time. And I'm just thrilled, and I'm enjoying it, that just savoring, where you just want to gobble up the cake.
That's true.
You want all the cake all that's at true. Once.
That's true. And I've said before, I think a big flaw in Ruby and Sapphire were just how close they came out after X and Y.
Yeah, there was only 1 year delay in that.
That was that's just a personal preference of... I don't want to play a mainstream Pokemon game every year. Just like I don't want to play a Call of Duty game comes out every year. I don't want any series to come out any year, because I do not think that is good and healthy for a series.
It would just be great if they would do like alternating years, main Pokemon game, Pokemon Ranger game, Pokemon game, Pokemon Ranger game, and back and forth.
Yeah.
Because we need more Pokemon Ranger.
Do we?
It is the best game. You draw all these circles. It's so good.
And Anthony writes in, hey, longtime listener, first time writing in. I got a couple questions for you. One, do any of you collect action figures? I used to when I was younger, but I recently decided to get back into it. Have you seen the new Link Between Worlds Figma yet? Also, the new Pokemon Nintendroids are sweet too. And two, if Pokemon Z is indeed the next Pokemon game to be announced, how do you think Zygarde will be incorporated into this game's storyline? Will Zygarde join your party early on from in its cell form and then gradually transform through as you progress the game? Personally, I'd love it if the game was similar to Yellow Version, where instead of Pikachu following you around, you'd have 10% dog form Zygarde at your tail. Keep up the good work, Anthony.
Intriguing.
Let's go with the first one here real quick.
I was gonna say, we know my stance is I do not collect toys.
No, I have a couple amiibos, mostly in games I really like. The Animal Crossing amiibos. I have most of the Pokemon amiibos except for the Jigglypuff one. And oh, by the way, that was in news. They kind of slid in that any Pokemon amiibo that was hard to find, they're all getting reprinted. So if you are missing your Charizard or your Mewtwo or your Jigglypuff or for whatever reason a Pikachu, all those amiibos are getting reprinted because of the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, and at the Milwaukee Walmart, Ganondorf and Princess Peach are for $3.
And the Squid amiibos too. They're Inklings. Yeah. I told everyone, there's no reason to wait outside at Walmart at 4 a.m. to get your amiibos. They'll all be in the clearance section 6 months later. And look at where they all are. In the clearance section. They're dumb. So yeah, I have a couple of Amiibos, but like I was very into toys / action figures before even Amiibos, and even before Skylanders. When I went onto a small Skylander craze, I collect like a lot of Labbits, a lot of Shawnimals, like just designer toys and stuff. So I haven't been into that much recently.
But do you have nylon My Little Pony toys in the box?
No, not in the box. I have like two My Little Pony toys, but they were just on sale, and they just sit on the shelf with all my Pokemon toys and Monster Hunter toys, and toys are dumb. Listeners, do not buy toys. They're dumb. They're just collecting dust.
You certainly have a lot of them.
I have a lot, I can tell you. And then when you move, you don't even want to set them back up when you get to your new place because you got all the shelves. And no, they're dumb. They're kind of cool, though.
I do have a Xerneas Niveltal still in the box. Huge.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, the second question, the Pokemon Z, I think that is a really cool concept to have like a baby cell Zygarde follow you. I think that's really cool. I don't know what the story is going to be. And like I just said, like 10 minutes ago, I don't care what the story is. I just want to go through, catch my Pokemon, beat my 8 gyms, call it a day. That's what I love.
I've already said, right, that it's going to be, you're going to have either Volcanion or Zygarde as the, I don't know now with the different forms of, no. Oh, it's so hard. You know, maybe it is just a one volume and Zygarde is that main legendary Pokemon and it's going to be the region that's next to Kalos. And, you know, it's just going to be the legendary Pokemon that you're going to use your Master Ball on. But then it has like the little forms and everything. So how does that come into play? It's so, who knows? Maybe they're going to introduce breeding of legendaries. And they'll just like breed into weird forms before they actually become the legendary Pokemon that they're destined to become.
I don't know. But cool concept, definitely. Matt H. writes in, "Hey, SBJ, I'm a super big fan of the podcast. I have a question for you. Hopefully it hasn't been asked before. What is your favorite Pokemon video? Mine is the shiny Ponyta. Thanks for taking the time to look into this." That's an old video.
Yeah, I remember one night I was doing a launch of a new web hosting service. So like the entire university website was moving onto a new hosting platform and we're doing it like overnight. And it got to be like 2 o'clock in the morning and I was there with my coworkers and one of them was like, "Oh, I don't know what shiny Ponyta is." So I like played it for them, but I played it super loud. So you know how like there's like that really,
yeah,
the play, like the music in the background,
mm-hmm, and the Sum 41.
Yeah.
Yep, that was there.
Oh, shiny Ponyta is definitely a classic of the Pokemon video world.
I mean, the kid did go on record saying like, I mean, he overreacted purposefully for the views.
Oh, yeah. We all say that. Ugh.
I mean, I think that video is a time and place. I don't think it holds up. It was definitely funny at the time. I don't know if I have a specific Pokemon video. The Slowpoke video that Pokemon put out like 2 months ago was real good.
Yeah, that's definitely good.
Yeah, that was really good.
Black Man Loves Pokemon. Although that was good. Not safe for work.
Not real safe for work, funny. But that was good.
Real funny.
I'm not a big YouTuber. Like, I don't know if that because of my age or just how I consume media. Like, I never sit on YouTube and just look. Like, if I need to see a movie trailer, I'll go to YouTube, I'll watch it, and I'll leave. Like, I don't spend time watching that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I don't get trapped in a YouTube hole. I know a lot of folks do these days, but yeah, not my scene of like just clicking one YouTube video after another. You know, I may look up like a a music video or something for a song that I like. But yeah, that's about as far as it goes.
Yeah.
I'm not watching those, what is it, like Super Panic Frenzy videos, like over and over and over again, and all that stuff. Giving those people coins, you know, I should be making that money. I should be making those YouTube dollars.
You don't want to be doing that.
I want money. I love money.
Austin S. writes in. Today I discovered your podcast while going through the app, and I feel for the next episode there should be a battle between you, I think it meant you and everyone else, and have it streamed to Twitch.
You mean a Pokemon battle?
Oh yeah, you all. So all like between like Travis and me, or you and Travis, or like streaming us battling.
Well, Austin, as hard as this may be to believe, but me, the eldest of them all, is the only one who actually does competitive Pokemon battling on a regular basis. So I would stomp them all, and there's no point in having such a sad display on Steve and Travis's parts.
You know, I can honestly sit here and say that I not only did VGC competitive battle for a solid year.
Four years ago?
In the black and white days, which I think was a cool format. But then I ventured out to do competitive TCG Pokemon battles for 2 years. So my portfolio, while it may not be as heavy as some of these other people, it is definitely vast in dabbling in different things.
I mean, dabble all you want. I'm still going to beat you.
I'm not arguing there. I'm a big, I was a big Pokemon Shuffle fanboy too.
Yeah, I still play Shuffle every day. I still get my 5 shuffles in every morning. It's like an addiction. I cannot get out of bed until I've played 5 rounds of Shuffle. And I am so stuck on Gotharita.
I might have been there at one point, unless that was... No, I think Gotharita was still there when I was playing. Christopher L. writes in, just became a Patreon member.
Thank you.
I really wanted to take advantage of the Slack community and get involved with the VGC more. I always hear on the podcast different things that you guys have going on through the Slack community. Thanks, and always, I look forward to hearing the next podcast. He had a question of how to get into Slack. I gave him Slack access.
There you go.
Later that email, but most of the time, if you sign up for the Patreon, I try to get you access within 24 hours. I have to manually take your email that you signed up and then apply it to Slack, and then you have to sign up from there. But yeah, if you sign up for the Patreon, it's about hopefully less than 24 hours before I get you in. And if you really want to get in, you just tweet at me, and I get you in pretty instantly.
Yep, and we're still having our current battle competition, which is the Generations League, where it's one Pokemon from each generation on a doubles competition. But what did I call it? Because pretty soon I'm going to start up my competition, because I haven't done a competition in Slack yet. It's like Will's Quickie Quick Claw Tournament, where it's going to be singles, but at least one of your Pokemon has to have a Quick Claw, is required to carry a Quick Claw as a whole that item.
Just use your Game Shark. Give everyone Quick Claw.
No, that is cheating. You must have one Quick Claw on your team. And it'll be singles, not doubles, because we've done a lot of doubles, and there's some people in Slack who prefer to play singles, so I want to give them that opportunity.
That's fair.
But I think to make sure that they're faster games, it'll be like a 3v3 singles instead of a 6v6.
That makes sense.
We'll see. But yeah, so if you are interested in singles tournaments or doubles tournaments, because we will always be doing doubles tournaments, or breeding, or getting help with trading for certain Pokemon, that's everybody in there. I saw today with my own eyes a Thundurus with Hidden Power Ice traded in our Slack community. Right there.
Is that rare?
Yeah, it's one of the in-demand Pokemon legendaries for the current VGC format. So, I mean, a Thundurus is a legendary, right? So that's not something you just give away. Unless you're the person who just gave it away.
That's... Tyler L. writes in, "Hey guys, do you think there will be a Generation 4 remake? Why or why not? Just wanted to say that I've been a fan and have been listening for a long time. Keep up the awesome work, and I can't wait for more episodes."
Is that the end of his email? Because Tyler, stop asking for the Gen 4 remakes. The answer is no.
You did put remakes. P.S. Get good.
Get good?
Get. Did we... We had a Gen 4 remake thing last week as well, didn't we?
And I'm pretty sure it was Tyler.
Is it? I don't think... I would have marked out this email. No, I think it was in a bigger email.
But no, a bigger email from Tyler. He's just going to send an email every week asking for Gen 4 remakes.
Maybe.
And not that I don't like Tyler. I think he's a great guy.
Do you think there will be a Gen 4 remake? I do, yes. Do I think it's anytime soon? No.
Ugh, 2026, man.
I mean, we're at the history of both Nintendo and the Pokemon Company International living off of people's nostalgic minds. And so remakes are just a given. Right?
Well, as long as the Pokemon Company and Nintendo exist.
That's fair. Steven T. writes in, "Hi guys, love the show. Submit an iTunes review and supporting the Patreon soon. I just started listening to about a month ago or two, and I gotta say, I love you guys, how you guys entertain me throughout my workday, so thank you." Well, thank you.
Yeah, and I guess if you play us on like 4x slow, we could last for 8 hours or so.
That's maybe his workday is only like an hour long.
I mean, I guess that's for some people. That's true. It's true.
I mean, I have exactly 30-minute drive to work and from work. So an hour podcast is definitely a day doable.
I have an exactly 6-minute drive to work and from work.
I usually can't listen to podcasts at work because I can't like read and listen at the same time, whereas like it's really good when I'm driving or like I'm cleaning the house.
Yeah. I mean, I don't clean the house, but it's good when you're like running like 8 or 9 miles to have a nice podcast to listen to.
That's yeah. Well, that is all the emails we have. Like I said before, you can email us at PokemonPodcast.com, hit that contact button, or just type in sbj@pkmncast.com into your email field. And either way, those emails will get over to us. You want to do Pokemon of the Week, Will? We're here.
Yeah. No, that's not the Pokemon of the Week song music, is it?
It's the Pokemon Center music.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless it's your birthday, and then it plays Happy Birthday.
All right. Pokemon of the Week is Braxen.
Like Elaine.
Is it French?
Yeah. Why not? It's in Kalos.
Sure. 87.5% male, 12.5% female. This is the middle evolution of Fennekin and Delphox. Braxen is a fox-like Pokemon. The majority of his fur is yellow. Has black legs, white arms, face, and neck, and a dark orange tail tip. The fur on its cheeks is longer, and the mane of white fur covers its shoulders and chest. When its mouth is open, two pointed teeth can be seen in the upper jaw. Braxen always keeps its stick in its tail, which it sets alight using its bushy tail fur. The flame from the lit twig is used for both attacks and communication.
Kind of like a semaphore? Like, or smoke signals.
Like a magician. I don't know.
Magicians don't communicate very much.
Like a torch. Hey, yeah. If you get a shiny one, it is purple instead of yellow. Looks real cool.
That is so sweet.
It's really cool looking. Braxen is the only Pokemon with a base stats total of 409. Braxen and its evolutionary relatives share the same category as Vulpix and Ninetales. They are all known as the Fox Pokemon. And I don't have
That's so weird. Why is it stat total 409? Usually the starters all have the same stat totals, unless it's maybe because it's the middle evolution. So weird.
Pokemon needs to redo all its stats.
Yeah. Set them all to one.
I mean, we could do a moveset, or not. I don't know Gen 6 Pokemon that well in the competitive scene. If I look at Delphox here, its highest is in its special attack, which is 114. Second highest being speed 104, and then its weakest is attack at 69, and its defense is kind of low at 72.
So one of the moves that Braixen can learn is one of my absolute favorites that drives people crazy for any kind of VGC competition, which is Magic Room. You know, everybody knows Trick Room, which is the one that reverses the speeds of all the different Pokemon. Magic Room makes it so that held items no longer do anything. So you can have an entire team of no held items and turn off everybody else's held items as well. That's fun.
But what are you going to do about Quick Claw if it's not on?
Well, the no Quick Claw. Sorry.
I don't think I'm wrong in saying that Heat Wave would probably be an excellent move for Delphox.
Yeah, because it's a fire type. It's not psych. Remember, stop thinking about Delphox. We're thinking about Braixen. We're doing middle cup here, right? Not little cup, not big boy cup. Middle cup
only, doubles.
Only middle evolutions. So
middle cup doubles.
He's fire only, or Braixen's fire only, and that's it.
Get that Heat Wave. If you don't like Heat Wave, switch over to Flame something.
Flamethrower, like all the Charizards have.
The Flamethrower.
Protect. You want to have a Protect on that dude.
Shockwave. If you want to get your electric coverage, for some reason, Braixen can learn Shockwave.
No, you want something that's going to dry up all them water types.
Yeah. Shockwave. It's electric.
Oh. There you go. Wait, does that do damage?
It does 60.
Hey, is that a real thing?
Yeah, Shockwave move. Shockwave is a damage-dealing electric type move introduced in Generation 3. It was TM34 in Generation 3 to Generation 4. Shockwave inflicts damage and unaffected by modifications due to accuracy or evasion stats.
Very cool. I was going to say Solar Beam, because everybody does the Solar Beam, but heck. Shockwave it up, buddy.
Shockwave it up.
I always look for, like, is there, like, a really weird move that a Pokemon can learn that you, like, why does he know this? Why does this Pokemon know this move? Like, I guess Low Kick is kind of weird for a psychic fire type or just a fire type.
Yeah. It makes sense, though, I guess. I mean, he's on his legs. He could low kick.
He's got legs, yeah.
He's got legs. He can learn Dream Eater if you want to teach Hypnosis. I only have 60% accuracy, though.
Dream Eater or Hypnosis?
Hypnosis.
That's terrible accuracy.
Yeah, it's real.
Yawn is the one you want to go with.
Which one?
Yawn.
Yawn?
Yawn.
Yawn. Can he learn Yawn?
Hey, he can learn Grass Knot, man.
I guess. Is it better than Shockwave? I mean, it's based on weight, and if you're doing middle cup, probably not.
Ooh, you got me there.
Ooh, sick burn. We don't need Travis.
Sick burn.
Yeah, we don't need Travis.
I think every middle cup team needs a Braixen. Absolutely. Special attacker.
It's in Pokken Fighters.
It's got that 90 special attack. Pretty sweet.
So take what you can get. As for that, like I said at the beginning of the show, we will be hopefully on Twitch next Sunday. If you're probably listening to this on the current Sunday, so the next Sunday, which is January 25th, 2 p.m. Central Time. Plan out for about an hour to 2 hours. If you cannot make it, do not worry. We will have an audio version up afterwards to help celebrate 200 episodes. And yeah, and hopefully a little bit of spoilers. Hopefully going to have some new podcast art and some new podcast music to go along with that. Maybe all not at once, but working to get some stuff done to just spice up some stuff. 6 years, almost 6 years, 200 episodes. So yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Dragging a Lake. You can follow Will on Twitter at Wash in the Sink. Otherwise, this has been another episode of the Pokemon Podcast, and we are
super heartbroken.